Have you ever nailed a maneuver in practice? I mean, just buttered it, and then completely fallen apart doing the same thing with an examiner in the right seat? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, right here on Radio Hanger. And today we're going to talk about steep turns, specifically the three mistakes I see over and over again that bust this maneuver on check rides. And the fix for each one is simpler than you think. Now, before we get rolling, a quick shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every milestone in your flying journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, all of it. If you're grinding through training right now, those coins are a great reminder of how far you've come. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, steep turns. This is one of those maneuvers that students tend to either love or dread, and there's not much in between. On paper, it sounds straightforward. You roll into a 45-degree bank, maintain altitude, maintain airspeed, and roll out on your heading. The airman certification standards say you need to hold altitude within plus or minus 100 feet, airspeed within plus or minus 10 knots, bank within plus or minus 5 degrees, and roll out within plus or minus 10 degrees of your entry heading. That sounds generous, right? 100 feet of altitude? 10 knots of airspeed? You'd think everyone would pass this one without breaking a sweat. But here's the thing. Steep turns are sneaky. The errors compound on each other. One mistake feeds the next, and before you know it, you're in a descending, accelerating spiral wondering what happened. I've watched it happen dozens of times from the right seat, so let's walk through the three big mistakes, one at a time. Mistake number one, the entry. This is where most people lose the maneuver before it even starts, and I mean that literally. The check ride is not the time to be casual about your setup. Here's what I see. A student picks a heading, says they're going to use north 360, and then just rolls into the turn. No pause, no stabilization. They go from straight and level flight to 45 degrees of bank in one motion, and they're already behind the airplane. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The entry to a steep turn is the most important part. If you rush it, everything else falls apart. What you should be doing is this. First, pick your altitude. Note it. Pick your heading. Note it. Pick a reference point on the horizon. Something out there that you'll recognize when you come back around. A tower, a lake, a road intersection, whatever. Now, before you roll in, make sure you are trimmed. This is huge. If you're fighting the airplane in straight and level flight, you are absolutely going to be fighting it at 45 degrees of bank. Take 3 seconds and get the airplane trimmed for level flight at your maneuvering speed. If you're flying a Cessna 172, that's probably around 90 to 95 knots. If you're in a Piper Cherokee, similar range, then. And this is the part people skip, clear the area. Two 90-degree clearing turns, or at minimum, a good look in the direction of the turn. The examiner is looking for this. It's in the airman certification standards under risk management. If you skip your clearing turns, some examiners will stop you right there. Once you're stable and cleared, roll into the bank smoothly. Not fast, not slow. Think of it like a 2 to 3 second roll to 45 degrees. As you pass about 30 degrees of bank, start adding back pressure. Not a lot, just a little. You're anticipating the increased load factor. At 45 degrees of bank, the load factor is about 1.4 Gs. That means the airplane effectively weighs 40% more than it does in straight and level flight. If you don't add back pressure, the nose drops. And that leads us directly to mistake number two. Mistake number two, chasing the altitude. This is the big one. This is the mistake that turns a steep turn into a roller coaster, and it's the number one reason students bust this maneuver. Here's what happens. You roll into the turn. The nose starts to drop a little because you didn't add quite enough back pressure. You see the altimeter unwinding, and you pull back. But you pull back too much. Now the nose is too high, and you're climbing, so you push forward. Now you're descending again. You're oscillating up and down, 50 feet this way, 70 feet that way. And the whole time you're also trying to hold your bank angle, which is now wandering because you're focused on the altimeter. Sound familiar? The fix for this is going to feel counterintuitive, but trust me on it. Stop staring at the altimeter. I know. Your instinct is to watch that altimeter like a hawk, but in a steep turn, the altimeter is a lagging indicator. By the time it shows you've lost 50 feet, you've actually been descending for several seconds. If you react to the altimeter, you're always behind. Instead, put your eyes outside. Look at where the nose meets the horizon. In a properly executed steep turn, the cowling should sit in a consistent position relative to the horizon. In most trainers, it's going to be just slightly above where it sits in straight and level flight, because you're carrying that extra back pressure. If you see the nose starting to dip below that reference point, add a tiny bit of back pressure. If it's creeping up, relax just a touch. Small inputs. Think of it like balancing a ball on a plate. Tiny corrections early, not big corrections late. Now, does this mean you never look inside? Of course not. You should be scanning. But it should be mostly outside with quick glances at the altimeter and the bank angle indicator. I tell my students to think 80-20. 80% of your attention outside, 20% inside. A quick peek at the instruments, then eyes back to the horizon. The examiner is watching your scan, by the way, if your head is buried in the panel during a steep turn. That's a red flag. The Airman certification standards specifically talk about maintaining orientation using both visual references and instrument indications. Both, not just instruments. Here's another tip that helps a lot of students. A slight bit of power. In most training airplanes, you'll want to add about 100 to 200 RPM as you roll into the steep turn. Why? Because in that 45-degree bank with the increased load factor, your stall speed has gone up. Your airplane needs more energy to maintain altitude. A little extra power keeps the airspeed stable and makes the whole maneuver feel less like a wrestling match. If you're flying a constant speed prop, you might not need to touch the throttle at all, or just a nudge, but in a fixed pitch prop airplane, like a Cessna 172 or a Piper Warrior, that little bit of extra power makes a real difference. Try it in practice and you'll see what I mean. Now let's talk about mistake number three, and this one catches people right at the finish line. Mistake number three, the rollout. You've done the hard part. You've held altitude, held airspeed, held bank. You're coming around to your entry heading, and you can see your reference point out the windscreen. You're almost there, and then you blow right through it, or you start rolling out too late and end up 30 degrees past your heading. Or, and this is the sneaky one, you roll out on the heading but you balloon up 50 or 60 feet in the process because you forgot to release the back pressure as you reduce the bank angle. Let's break this down. The rollout needs to be led. Just like rolling out of any turn, you need to start your rollout before you reach your target heading. How much lead depends on your rate of roll and your bank angle. For a steep turn at 45 degrees, a good rule of thumb is to lead by about 20 degrees. So, if your entry heading was 360, start your rollout at about 340. But here's the part that gets people. As you roll the wings level, you have to simultaneously reduce back pressure. Remember, you added back pressure to maintain altitude in the bank. If you keep that same back pressure as you roll wings level, the airplane is going to climb, and it'll climb fast, because now all that extra lift you were using to turn is suddenly pointed straight up. So the rollout is a coordinated movement. Wings rolling level, back pressure coming out, and if you added power, bring that back to your cruise setting. All of it happening together. Smoothly. I tell my students to practice the rollout as its own thing. Don't just think of the steep turn as roll in, hold it, roll out. Think of roll in as a skill. Think of holding the bank as a skill. And think of the rollout as a skill. Practice each one. And one more thing about the rollout. When you're done, check your altitude and heading, and then look at your airspeed. A lot of students will nail the altitude and heading, but end up 10 or 15 knots fast because they forgot to pull the power back. The examiner might let it slide if everything else was good, but why give them a reason to dig deeper? Now, let me add a bonus thought here because there's a fourth mistake that doesn't get talked about enough. Coordination, steep turns are a coordination maneuver. The ball needs to stay centered. If you're skidding through the turn, that's a problem. If you're slipping, that's a problem. And at 45 degrees of bank, the rudder pressure you need is different from what you're used to in a standard rate turn. In a left steep turn, most airplanes will want to yaw to the left because of P factor and the increased angle of attack. You might need a surprising amount of right rudder. In a right steep turn, it's usually a bit more neutral, but it depends on the airplane. Keep the ball centered. If you have to choose between watching the altimeter and watching the ball, watch the ball. A coordinated airplane is a predictable airplane. An uncoordinated airplane at 45 degrees of bank is one step away from a cross-control stall. And that is not something you want to explore at low altitude. Let me pull all of this together with a scenario because I think it helps to see how these mistakes chain together in real life. Let's say you're on your private pilot check ride. You've gotten through the oral exam. You're in the airplane, the examiner says. Show me steep turns both directions. You pick a heading. You clear the area. Good start. But you're nervous, and you roll in a little fast. You hit about 50 degrees of bank before you catch it, and shallow back to 45. Now your bank has been inconsistent, and you're playing catch-up. Because you rolled in fast, you didn't add back pressure soon enough. The nose dropped. You lost 30 feet before you noticed. You pull back, but too much. Now you're climbing. You push forward. You're oscillating. Meanwhile, your bank angle is creeping because you're focused on altitude. You're at 48 degrees, then 42, then 46. The airplane feels squirrely. You come around to your heading, but you're late on the rollout. You blow through by 15 degrees. You roll wings level, but forget to release the back pressure. You balloon up 60 feet. Any one of those errors alone might have been within standards. But stacked together, the examiner sees a pilot who isn't in control of the airplane, and that's a disapproval. Now let's rewind and do it right. You clear the area, you note your heading, your altitude, and your reference point on the horizon. You're trimmed, you add 100 RPM, you roll smoothly to 45 degrees over about 2 seconds, adding back pressure as you pass 30 degrees. You set the nose on the horizon reference and leave it there. Your eyes are mostly outside, quick glance at the altimeter, you're within 20 feet. Good, quick glance at the bank, 44 degrees, close enough, eyes back outside. The nose is right where you put it, you're coming around, you see your reference point approaching. You start your rollout 20 degrees early. Wings coming level, back pressure, releasing. Power coming back. You roll out within 5 degrees of your heading. Altitude is within 30 feet. Airspeed is right where it started. That's a pass. And it didn't require superhuman skill. It required a good entry, eyes outside, and a planned rollout. Here's one more practical tip before we wrap up. Practice steep turns at altitude first. Get up to 4,000 or 5,000 feet above the ground where you have plenty of room. Do 10 of them. Then 10 more. Then do them in turbulence. Then do them while talking, because on the check ride, the examiner might ask you questions during the maneuver. The airman certification standards want to see that you can manage the airplane while also demonstrating aeronautical knowledge. If you can hold a steep turn while explaining the relationship between bank angle, load factor, and stall speed, you're going to impress your examiner. And remember, the examiner doesn't expect perfection, they expect competence. They want to see that you can set up the maneuver properly, maintain control of the airplane, recognize and correct deviations, and manage the rollout. If you lose 40 feet and catch it smoothly, that actually looks better than never deviating at all, because it shows you're scanning and correcting. This segment drew heavily from the Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook, the current Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and about 1,000 hours of watching students learn this exact maneuver from the right seat. You can find more training content at radiohangar.com. Go practice your steep turns this week, and when you do, pick one of those three mistakes to focus on. Just one, nail the entry, or nail the scan, or nail the rollout. Then put it all together. You've got this. I'm Pattern, and I'll see you in the traffic pattern.